welcome to this session. I wasn't sure how much interest we would have as this is public health focused, but I always like to start off my presentation saying, if we don't take good care of our patients in the hospital, you will have lots of opportunity in the public health setting to try to pick up that slack. So before we get started, I'd like to say that I have no financial disclosures or conflicts of interest, and that this particular study was a phase one portion of a study that went into a regression analysis looking at predicting how hospitals implemented this new staffing ratios. So this study identified and described changes in both nurse and non-nurse staffing that occurred after the implementation of the mandated California nurse-patient ratios. We looked at the nurse-patient ratios in fiscal year 2000, and I'll describe what that means in a little bit, and looked at the post-implementation, which is fiscal year 2006. So most of you probably know that hospitals have suffered under several financial constraints over the last several decades. Part of it has been increased technology, which has required a more skilled labor force, and constrained reimbursements with government payers and third-party payers as well, and a competition with more services that used to be traditionally performed and provided in hospital settings, shifting more to outpatient settings. With all of these pressures, hospitals have had less reimbursement to work with, and so one of the things that they typically did, and I forgot to mention managed care, but that was a very big press for constrained cost, was that they reduced the nurse labor workforce. It was a quick way to make a financial recovery. And that became a problem when we started seeing studies that came out that showed an impact in the decrease of nurses taking care of patients had an effect on quality, and that there was an increase in medication errors and medical errors. And so one of the things that happened in the state of California was that there was a lot of labor mobilization, and two bills prior to the enactment of AB 394 were not successful in mandating nurse-patient ratios. But we had kind of a perfect storm. And in 1999, AB 394, which mandated the implementation of nurse-patient ratios, took place. But it was a five-year implementation plan. So although this legislation was passed in 1999, it didn't go into effect until January of 2004. And this legislation required that every hospital have the appropriate number of nurses, and that was defined by the California Department of Health and Human Services, that depending on the type of unit you were in, whether you were med-surg, ICU, pediatrics, OB, postpartum, et cetera, that you had the appropriate number of nurses according to the mandated ratios every day, every shift, every unit, and at all times. So what this meant for the med-surg units were the typical units where the biggest nursing shortages appeared to be, and was our major focus in this particular study, was that when it was first implemented, they did a phase-in, and so there was one nurse per six patients. And then that changed in 2005, where it became 1 to 5. So we had a couple of quick little research questions that we thought we'd explore. We wanted to look and see what changes took place in the RN population, the LVN population, the nurse aide population, and other unit support staff, which included unit clerk and administrative support. Because we all know that if we got rid of those types of support staff, who would end up doing that work? So those ratios may sound really great, but if we're shifting the work that others used to do onto the RN, we may not accomplish what we had hoped to with this legislation. So, if California hospitals did meet the required nurse-to-patient ratios, how did they do it? Part of this legislation said that they could substitute for their total nurse staffing, that they could have up to 50% of that staff be LVNs. So, there was some concern that the skill mix would change within those hospitals because, obviously, LVNs are cheaper labor force, and this mandate of certain nurse-to-patient ratios could be financially onerous on hospitals, and it would make sense, based on their prior behavior, that they would take this stand. The other thing was, of course, as we all know, nationwide there's a nursing shortage, and that was certainly predominant on the minds of the stakeholders here in California when they passed that legislation. A lot of the public hearings and a lot of the public comments made from hospitals and groups representing hospitals were, well, this is fantastic, but we already can't hire enough nurses, so what are we going to do? So, of course, one of the questions we had was, would we have registry nurses? And in the database that I used, they're identified as registry nurses, but others call them agency nurses, traveling nurses. Those are all categorized under registry nurses. And then did California hospitals reduce other staff that weren't protected by the nurse-patient ratios? And beyond just the unit support staff that we discussed, we looked at other staff, kitchen workers, laundry, housekeeping. The interesting part of this study, I think, was during this time that I was doing this work, I was also working as a registered nurse in California. I worked at Stanford Hospital in 2005, and I worked at Kaiser Permanente in South San Francisco City in their intensive care unit. And so I was hearing anecdotal stuff at the same time that we were actually doing this study. And we were hearing things such as, you know, we don't have any nurses' aides anymore. And by the way, you know, I came from the state of Texas, and I, in ICU, for those patients that could eat, I had trays that I actually put in the microwave, just like the old TV dinners where I had to cut open the section that had the meat and put a little slash in the top of the mashed potatoes and put it in the microwave for a certain amount of time. We didn't do that in Texas. So there were some anecdotal information that we were receiving that these cuts were indeed taking place, and I experienced a few of those. So we used the annual hospital disclosure reports that are submitted to the California Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development. It's a huge database, and all hospitals licensed in the state, with a few exceptions, have about 3 months at the close of their fiscal year. And so when we say fiscal year, their fiscal year could close in 1999 up to 2000. And so we're just encapsulating that in fiscal year 2000 and 2006. So it was a secondary analysis looking at the pre-post design. So we observed the hospitals over two time points. One was at the time that the legislation was passed, 5 years before the implementation actually took place, which was 1999-2000, and then looking at the first 6 to 18 months post-implementation, which was fiscal year 2006. It was a descriptive analysis, this first phase was, and it was conducted on all nurse and non-nurse staff that was reported in this database. The inclusion criteria was pretty simple. Since the only state in the nation that had passed the mandated ratios, you obviously had to be a hospital in California. You also had to have submitted your annual financial disclosure reports for fiscal year 2000 and 2006. There are some hospitals that work for a parent organization, and they do what we call consolidated reporting, and they may have submitted a report in 2000, but then they consolidated with their parent organization and did not have a report available for 2006, and therefore we could not use them in the study. They had to have complete reporting of the mean productive hours for registered and registry nurses for both time periods, otherwise we couldn't compare. And we found that hospitals that did not have at least 30 beds were facilities that often use swing bed methodology. Are you familiar with swing bed methodology? I wasn't. What it is these small, usually rural, but not all rural, hospitals will swing between acute beds and long-term care beds, depending on the community need at the time. And so, of course, we couldn't get accurate measures of nurse staffing because of the changes between med-surg and long-term care. So what we found was the hospitals in our study were primarily urban, and about half were not-for-profit. A little bit less than half were affiliated with some kind of a healthcare system like Sutter, California Healthcare West, Kaiser Permanente. They ranged from 5 acute beds to 1,400 beds. The average length of stay was 5.8 to 6.4 days. The case mix index, which is a kind of a measure of the severity of illness of the type of patients that are in that hospital, ranged from 1.06 to 1.08. And the average occupancy rate was somewhere between 53 and 58%, which I thought was rather low. I see some raised eyebrows. You think so, too. The payer source, 44% of their pay mix was Medicare, 30% was Medi-Cal, and then the rest was third-party payers. Now, Med-Surg wages ranged from $26 and some change to $44 and some change. Any guesses on where the higher wages were in the state? North. The southern part of the state notoriously has much lower wages. Mm-hmm. So this is a tiny little slide, but I did try to highlight most of it in red for your significant findings. And what we found was that the Med-Surg registered nurses had a significant change between their mean productive hours in fiscal year 2000 and their mean productive hours in fiscal year 2006. And that change was from 4.52 mean productive hours per patient day to 5.45. And that was almost an hour difference in the care that patients received by RNs. The other thing, of course, that we were not surprised to see was that indeed registry nurse usage did increase from fiscal year 2000 to fiscal year 2006, almost by a half an hour. So that is financially quite significant as well. So if you put those two together, and we were looking at total RN, and so we captured both the registered nurse and the registry nurse to try to get a good estimate, it was also significant. Now, although our main focus was on the Med-Surg units, we couldn't just leave it there. We went to look at house-wide. What were the changes house-wide for all of the inclusive units across the hospital? And we found very similar trends. We saw an increase in the total RN from 5.4 mean productive hours per patient day up to 6.04. We also saw that same increase, and I apologize for missing the red highlight on that. It also increased from 0.45 to 0.95, which is very similar to the total Med-Surg. That's an increase of almost half an hour. And then we did see, of course, the combined total RN hospital-wide that went from 5.74 to 6.91. The other interesting finding that we saw was that clinical lab decreased just a tad, but significantly. Radiology increased, respiratory therapy increased, and pharmacy increased. So those anecdotal hearings that we were, sightings that we had heard about reducing others did not appear to be true in this database. So, did California hospitals meet the required nurse-to-patient ratios? That was one of the things we wanted to know. Yes, but you can see there's a little caveat there. We'll get to that caveat. Did they substitute LVNs for RNs? No, there was no change, no significant change. Did they utilize more registry nurses? Yes, they did. Did California hospitals reduce other staff not protected by the mandated nurse-patient ratios? We did not find that evidence in this study. Now, we do have a few little limitations, as all studies do. All the findings can't be generalized to all California hospitals because not all California hospitals submit this annual report. If you're a federal hospital or if you're doing consolidated reporting, and up until 2000, some Kaiser hospitals did not submit the staffing portion of this report. And mean productive hours can be loosely equated with nurse-patient ratios, but in this database, those mean productive hours can include educational time and time that's not direct caregiving. And it can include things like charge nurses who may not do direct patient care and infection control nurses. So it would tend to overestimate those mean productive hours. The data is reported by type of unit, not each individual unit. So if you're in a large hospital and you have 5 med-surg units, those data are aggregated across the entire hospital. So you may have 1 or 2 units that are doing great staffing, but you may have 3 that are really struggling. And if you combine all those together and average it, it makes everybody look okay. And these are annually reported, so it's not possible to determine specific compliance because we can't do it unit to unit, day to day, shift to shift, and so we're not able to determine who's compliant and who hasn't been. So this suggests that maybe if you want to increase the mean productive hours of nurses at the bedside, this may be one policy solution. Any questions? Yes.
How are you defining productive hours?
Those productive hours are part of the database, and so it is a definition that is used by each and every hospital that do that annual financial disclosure report. And its mean productive hours are the hours that are actually captured on the payroll that are productive hours versus those that are accounted for sick, let's say, or vacation. Yes. I have an idea. It's not part of the study, but I'm good with opinions. And I have read studies that say that with the implementation of the electronic nurse documentation, that it actually increases by 50% the amount of time that nurses spend actually doing the documentation. And that's pretty early on with the implementation of those electronic charting systems. I can say anecdotally, it does take a lot longer at first, but over time it's probably equivalent to what we used to do with the paper charting. Thank you.